Good morning, everybody. All right. Well, my name is Heath, and I am glad to be up here today sharing the Word of God with you. Before I get started, I want to do a little housekeeping. I am not the lead pastor here at Pauline. The Holy Spirit is. The reason I'm here is because when it was asked who will speak, I said, here am I. Send me. And that's the only reason I'm here. So I'm going to bring to you what the Word says, what I believe it means, and I'm going to let the Holy Spirit work in your heart to tell you what is true. Let me pray. Dear God, I give you everyone and everything. God, we lift you up. You are worthy of praise. Thank you for this gift that is your Word. Open our hearts. Speak through me. And may the good news be proclaimed today. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Okay, so today I'm going to be talking about forgiveness. And the last time that I spoke, I talked about two brothers, Jacob and Esau. They were the twin boys, son of Isaac and Rebekah. These are the grandchildren of Abraham and Sarah. And so last time, we described who they were. Jacob and Esau, they're vastly different. Esau was a hunter. He was hairy. He liked to live outdoors. Esau liked to live in the tents, and he was smooth-skinned. Also, his name, Jacob, was a little bit of a foreshadowing of who he became. His name Jacob means deceitful one. And so we learned how he, in a moment of weakness, he took advantage of his brother Esau. Esau sold to Jacob his birthright for a bowl of stew. And that birthright was supposed to be really important to him, but it wasn't. The birthright consisted of wealth and land and responsibility, and Esau gave it up, and now Jacob has it. Now, it's also important to remember that in the Old Testament, this isn't really a how-to guide on how to live. More so, it's instructions on, in spite of people's bad decisions, people's sinful nature, God still works. And it's also, the Old Testament is also a foreshadowing of someone that's going to come, and that someone is Jesus. So, in that light, I'm going to read to you almost all, of Genesis 27. So go ahead and turn there now, because we're going to be seeing the same characters, Isaac and his two sons, Esau and Jacob. So here we go, chapter 27. When Isaac was old and his eyes were so weak that he could no longer see, he called for Esau, his older son, and he said to him, "My son." "Here I am," he answered. Isaac said, I am now an old man and don't know the day of my death. "Now then, get your equipment, your quiver and your bow, and go out to the open country to hunt some wild game for me. Prepare me the kind of tasty foods I like and bring it to me to eat so that I may give you my blessing before I die." Now Rebekah was listening as Isaac spoke. This Rebekah is his wife. To his son Esau. When Esau left for the open country to hunt game and bring it back, Rebekah said to her son Jacob, "Look, I overheard your father say to your brother Esau, 'Bring me some game and prepare me some tasty food to eat, so that I may give you my blessing in the presence of the Lord before I die.' Now, my son, listen carefully. Do what I tell you. Go out to the flock and bring me two choice young goats so I can prepare some tasty food for your father, just the way he likes it. Then take it to your father to eat, so that he may give you his blessing before he dies." Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, "But my brother Esau is a hairy man, while I have smooth skin. What if my father touches me? I would appear to be tricking him and would bring down a curse on myself before rather than a blessing. His mother said to him, "My son, let the curse fall on me. Just do what I say. Go and get them for me." So he went, got them, and brought them to his mother. And she prepared some tasty food just the way his father liked it. Then Rebekah took the best clothes of Esau, her older son, which she had in the house, and put them on her younger son Jacob. She also covered his hands and the smooth parts of his neck with the goat skins. All right, hang on a second. So the mom is not really, I would say, being a good mom at the point. She's trying to deceive her husband through her favorite son, Jacob. Just a FYI, this is not a good parenting guide to have favorites and all. But also, she just put that goat skin, probably the goat she just killed, on her smooth son. So that's, like, she just made some clothes. That's kind of a weird thing to think about. Because it really didn't take that long. I mean, how long does it take to cook? Like, it's some nasty, nasty goat skin. Right? So, anyways. Verse 17. Then she handed to her son Jacob the tasty food and the bread she had made. He went to his father and said, "Father?" "Yes, my son," he answered. "Who is it?" Jacob said to his father, "I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done as you told me. Please sit up and eat some of my game, so that you may give me your blessing." Isaac asked his son, How did you find it so quickly, my son?" The Lord your God gave me success," he replied. Then Isaac said to Jacob, "Come near so I can touch you, my son, to know whether you are really my son Esau or not." See, he knew right away something was up. Verse 22, Jacob went close to his father Isaac, who touched him and said, "The voice is the voice of Jacob, but the hands are the hands of Esau." He did not recognize him, for his hands were hairy like those of his brother Esau. So he proceeded to bless him. "Are you really my son Esau?" he asked. "I am," he replied. Then he said, "My son, bring me some of the game to eat, so that I may give you my blessing." Jacob brought it to him, and he ate, and he brought some wine, and he drank. Then his father Isaac said to him, "Come here, my son, and kiss me." So he went to him and kissed him. When Isaac caught the smell of his clothes, he blessed him and said, "Ah, the smell of my son is like the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. May God give you heaven's dew and earth's richness, an abundance of grain and new wine. May nations serve you and peoples bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers, and may the sons of your mother bow down to you. May those who curse you be cursed, and may those who bless you be blessed." I'm going to stop there and say, the words of a father to his children are heavy. So dads, I want to encourage you all right now, speak life into your children. They need it. Verse 30, after Isaac finished blessing him and Jacob had scarcely left his father's presence, his brother Esau came in from hunting. He too prepared some tasty food and brought it to his father. Then he said to him, "My father, please sit up and eat some of my game so that you may give me your blessing." His father Isaac asked him, "Who are you?" "I am your son," he answered. "Your firstborn, Esau." Isaac trembled violently and said, "Who was it then that hunted game and brought it to me? I ate it just before you came, and I blessed him, and indeed he will be blessed." When Esau heard his father's words, he burst out in a loud and bitter cry and said to his father, "Bless me too, my father." But he said, "Your brother came deceitfully and took your blessing." Esau said, "Isn't he rightly named Jacob? This is the second time he has taken advantage of me. He took my birthright, and now he has taken my blessing." Then he asked, "Haven't you reserved any blessing for me?" Isaac answered Esau, "I have made him lord over you, and have made all his relatives his servants. I have sustained him with grain and new wine. So what can I possibly do for you, my son?" Esau said to his father, Do you have only one blessing, my father? Bless me too, my father. Then Esau wept aloud. His father Isaac answered him, Your dwelling will be away from earth's richness, away from the dew of heaven above. You will live by the sword, and you will serve your brother. But when you grow restless, you will throw his yoke off of your neck. Verse 41, Esau held a grudge against Jacob because of the blessing his father had given him. He said to himself, The days of mourning for my father are near. Then I will kill my brother Jacob. When Rebekah was told what her older brother Esau had said, she went to her younger son Jacob and said, Your brother Esau is planning to avenge himself by killing you. Now then, my son, do what I say. Flee at once to my brother Laban in Haran. Stay with him for a while until your brother's fury subsides. When your brother is no longer angry with you and forgets what you did to him, I'll send word for you to come back from there. Why should I lose both of you in one day? Wow, that is a terrible story. Again, this is not a how-to guide to treat your family, to parent, or anything. I read all of this. I know that was lengthy. I read it all so you could get a full picture of just how badly Jacob hurt Esau. So for this next part, I'm going to fast forward. I'm going to paraphrase about 20 years worth of information to you. A few chapters. So Jacob listens to his father and his mother, and he leaves, and he goes north to his uncle's place, Laban. And there he falls in love with Rachel, Laban's younger daughter. And he goes and he works for Laban. And instead of Laban paying him, he says, I'll work 7 years so I can marry your daughter. And he and Laban agree. 7 years passes. They're at the wedding. Laban deceitfully tricks Jacob and he lets him marry Leah, the older daughter. They work out a deal and he marries Rachel as well. And then he works another 7 years. So he's worked for Laban 14 years. And he's married sisters. Again, not a how-to guide. But in spite of this, God still works. All right, so after he's worked 14 years, he works an additional 6 years for Laban, and he starts to acquire a great bit of wealth. Okay. Then the Lord said to Jacob, Go back to the land of your fathers and to your relatives, and I will be with you. That's chapter 31, verse 3. So Jacob took all that he had, his wives, their handmaidens, all the animals, and he left and he went back south to where he was from. As he was going, he sent messengers ahead of him to meet his brother Esau. Now, it had been 20 years. And the last time he left, his brother Esau was trying to kill him. And he was running for his life. And now he is trusting God and he's going back to that same place. The messengers that he sent ahead come back to him, and they tell Jacob that his brother Esau is on his way, and he has 400 men with him. So Jacob, he's in fear again. He's in fear that all that he has worked for is about to be taken away, possibly even his life. So he does the best thing that he knows how to do. He divides his assets into two groups. And then he sends a gift of animals, a rather large gift, ahead of him with his servants to try to manipulate the situation and calm his brother Esau down. So now we find Jacob in verse 22 of chapter 32. Let me turn there. I had a place marker. There we go. All right. So here we are. He's divided his camp. He sent a peace offering to Esau. He's there with his family. Verse 22. That night, Jacob got up and took his two wives and his two female servants and his 11 sons and crossed the ford of Jabbok. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. Verse 24. So Jacob was left alone. We'll stop there. He's at the same river that he was 20 years ago when he was traveling north. And he's alone. He was alone when he left, and now for the first time he's alone again. And I can't imagine that he's feeling much different. The fear, the doubt, the loneliness. He doesn't know what he's going to do. He might lose everything, but there he is, left alone on the banks of that river. The rest of 24 says, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip so that his hip was wrenched. As he wrestled with the man, verse 26, then the man said, let me go, for it is daybreak. But Jacob replied, I will not let you go unless you bless me. The man asked him, what is your name? Jacob, he answered. Now, if you remember, Jacob means deceitful one. So when the man asked him, what is your name? He says, deceitful one. See, the man that he was talking to was God, and he was man. He was fully God, and he was fully man. And for most of you that have been here a while, your mind should start be turning to the one person that fits. I'll read on. Then the man said, your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans, and have overcome. Jacob said, please tell me your name. But he replied, why do you ask my name? Then he blessed him there. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, it is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared. So that man that he was wrestling with was Jesus. It's called a Christophany. It's an appearance of Jesus before he was born here on earth. And it happened many times in the Old Testament, and this is just one of them. The man that Jacob was wrestling with was God and man, and the only one that this describes to me is Jesus, because Jesus is fully God and he is fully man. The reason it's not God is because if you turn to Timothy, 1 Timothy 6:15, in 16, it says, he who is the blessed and the only sovereign, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, who dwells in unapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen or can see, to him be honor in eternal domain. Amen. You see, God cannot be approached by us on our own. His face cannot be seen. Exodus 33:20 says, this is Moses talking with God. But he said, you cannot see my face, for man shall not see me and live. So we know it's not God, and we know it's a man. So it has to be Jesus. So Jesus, in that moment, wrestling with Jacob, he did three things. He forgave him of his past. He gave him a new identity and a new purpose. You see, years ago, God made a promise to Abraham that he would make him the father of a great nation. And Abraham had children, and those children had children. And here we are seeing the grandsons of Abraham. And he changes his name from Jacob to Israel, and Israel becomes a great nation. And it's through this bloodline that he would be a blessing for the whole world. It's through this bloodline that Jesus will be born. And God does the same thing for us today through Jesus. It's through Jesus that we can be reconciled with God. You see, God is holy and just and cannot be where sin is. And since we are sinful by nature and nurture, we are separated from God. Romans 3, 23 and 24 says this. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. But Jesus steps in and He takes our place. So that when God looks at us, He no longer sees our sin and our shame, but He only sees the righteousness of Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For our sake He made Him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God." It was true then, and it is true today. This encounter that Jacob has with Jesus, it's a foreshadowing of the encounter that you can have with Jesus. Because when you meet Him face to face, and you admit who you are to Him, that I'm a sinner in need of a Savior, and you confess Him as Lord, your life will be changed. Your sins will be forgiven. You will be no longer known to Him by your past. You'll be given a new heart and a new identity and a new purpose. And that is the good news. Chapter 33, 1 and 4. So after the wrestling match, here comes Esau. Jacob looked up, and there was Esau, coming with his 400 men. So he divided the children among Leah, Rachel, and the two female servants. He put the female servants and their children in front, Leah and her children next, and Rachel and Joseph in the rear. And he himself went on ahead and bowed down to the ground 7 times as he approached his brother. But Esau ran to meet Jacob and embraced him. He threw his arms around his neck and he kissed him, and they wept. It's not the ending that most movies would have for you. But this is how it happened. So do you think that Esau forgave his brother Jacob? I do. And I don't think it's because of the gift that he sent him or the way he strategically maneuvered his people. It's nothing that Jacob had done. I think God had already done a work in Esau's life to prepare a way before Jacob ever knew about it. And all it took was Jacob being obedient to God when God told him to go. So, speaking of go, let's go on over to Matthew 18. Here we find Jesus talking to His disciples. He's talking about sin. He's talking about forgiveness. Verse 15 of 18 says, "If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault." Now the ESV says, yeah, if your brother sins against you, like it's personal, like something happened between the two of you. Between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. But if he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, so that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. Now, I'm gonna stop there. I don't think that it means bring it to the church, like after Mr. Derry makes announcements, that you raise your hand and say, I got something to say. I think what that means is you bring it to the church leadership, hopefully to seek out wiser counsel and some help. Because the point of this was not to embarrass people publicly. That's why Jesus said, go to your brother. Don't just receive a sin from somebody and take it before everybody so that they can be shamed publicly. That's how they used to treat each other. But it's saying, go to that person one-on-one so that you can, as it says, gain back your brother. But don't go it alone. We're not meant for that. And we're here for each other. So tell it to the church. If he refuses to listen, even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile or a tax collector. Essentially, someone who is not a believer in Christ. Someone who has not confessed Jesus as their Lord. And how do we treat them? We treat them the same way that God treats them. With compassion and forgiveness. Because that's how he treats us. That's how he treated us before we accepted him as Lord. He went ahead and he forgave first. So if they get to that point and that person's saying, I'm not listening, then that's how we treat them. We just go ahead and forgive. Truly, I say to you, whatever you bind up on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among them. I think we've heard this before. I think what this is talking about is sin and forgiveness. And the reason I say that is because that's what the verses before it was talking about, and that's what the verses after it was talking about. The next verse is about the unforgiving servant. And if you haven't read that parable of Jesus, go read it. I think when we gather together and we ask God to help us forgive each other, I think he's going to be there. And I think that's what it's talking about. So if you have a problem with somebody, go to them. And if you need help, take a deacon. Take anybody. Take somebody. But don't go it alone. And don't let it fester. Don't give it 20 years. Okay? God is a God of reconciliation. Why do I believe this? Because that is exactly what God did for all of us. He made a way for us to be reconciled to him through Jesus. So, in light of all this, in light of learning about how Jacob wronged his brother, and God made a way, and those brothers were reunited. We as a family may have issues with each other. Either we used to, or we currently do, or we might one day. We want to make it easier for you. One of those ways is with prayer. We are going to open up this altar when we start singing in a little while. And it's going to be a time of prayer. Pray for each other. Pray that God will do a work in your own heart, maybe in your family. If you've never accepted Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, if he's wrestling with your heart now, now is the time to say your name to him so he can give you a new one. He can change you. We also want to invite you to be part of the family. And this is good. We are good together. We have a meet and greet time, but that 5 minutes alone is not enough to really get to know each other. And the reason we want to get to know each other is so that when we rub up against each other, and we offend each other, if we know each other, it's not so offensive. Okay? So we're going to create family Sunday nights at 5 p.m. Every Sunday night at 5 p.m., there will be something that you can come and participate in, if you want. If you want to make it your own family night, that's fine. But there's going to be some consistency to it. The first Sunday night is going to be, wait for it, hang on, game night. That's it. All right, someone's listening. Yes. The first Sunday night is going to be game night. The second is going to be, why didn't I number these? Life skills, okay? This is a test, okay? The third is going to be worship. Okay, I got that one. And then the fourth one is going to be missions. So game night, life skills, worship, and missions. And on the fifth Sunday night, we already have a program. It's called Fifth Sunday Night Sing. It might be at this church. It might be at another church in our association. But every Sunday night, we're going to have something. And it's always at 5. And it's an opportunity to come and live life together so we can learn about one another and be together as a family. Okay. So the altar. The altar here is for you to come and pray. And so when we pray, when we sing, in a little bit we're going to sing a song. We're going to sing the whole song. I'll go ahead and speak this into existence. Every Sunday, when it's time to sing, we're singing the whole song. And if you're down front and you're praying, either alone or with someone else, we're not stopping the singing. We're going to start right back over at verse 1. And we're going to keep going until you're ready. Before we start to sing, if you go ahead and start thinking about it. If you need someone to go pray with you, when the first note hits, go to that person. Say, hey, I need someone to pray with. Come pray with me. If you see someone go down front and you know them, go. And if you've never accepted Jesus and you feel the wrestling in your heart and you want to talk about it, I'll be here. I'm going to be down front. So this is the time to worship and to pray. We will sing all the verses. And we're not going to stop until we're done. Let me pray, and then we'll sing. Dear God, thank you for this family. Thank you for this time. Thank you for your word. Thank you that all those years ago, you worked in the lives of two brothers. And in spite of their sinful nature, you made a way. And God, thank you for doing the same thing for us today. You make a way when we can see no way. God, we love you and we thank you. Amen.